Welcome, my little critters, to Tales from the Crypt Season 2, The Level Up. We're an actual play podcast with an ever-changing cast of players making our way through a bunch of different RPG systems, from micro-RPGs to some of the more well-known role-playing games out there, and the occasional highly narrative tabletop game. Content warnings can be found in the episode's description. My name is Riley Groves, and I am the Crypt Keeper on this episode of Tales from the Crypt. Due to some time constraints, this episode's going to be a little bit on the shorter side, and it's going to be centered around character creation, world building, and discussing some of the rules for our upcoming story arc in the Fallout RPG. So I apologize, this isn't like one of our standard episodes, but if you do enjoy getting to know the characters a little bit better and learning about the world that they'll be playing in for the next few episodes, stay tuned. And if that's not your jam, then go ahead and head back and listen to some older episodes. There's lots to catch up on. And we'll catch you back on the next episode of Tales from the Crypt. Welcome back to Tales from the Crypt. We have a star-studded cast here today. We've got Rebecca.
Howdy.
Tim.
Hello.
Mikey.
Hi.
And Derek.
Hello.
This is the first time we've had so many people on the podcast besides the season finale last year, since the very first arc we've ever done on Kids on Bikes. That was the last time we had five. So I'm pretty excited. I'm glad there's enough of you here today because we are going to be playing the Fallout RPG system. And a disclaimer, I think this is probably overall the most dangerous like group of encounters that I've ever put together. So it's probably a good thing that there's an extra member here today. Before we get into playing that, let's answer a question from our pod deck interview deck to get to know each other a little bit better. That question is, what three things would you leave in a time capsule for people to find in 50 years?
I'll go first.
Go for it.
I would leave a solar panel, a battery backup for it to charge, and a large computer with a hard drive for it to be, so you put all of our information on it, put it in a time capsule.
Ready to rock. All right. You're giving the people knowledge. Nice. Mikey, what about you?
I was just thinking drugs would be funny, but like a day in the life sort of thing. Like maybe like a newspaper, price of like gas and everyday stuff.
Things that they could easily search on the internet in 50 years. Yeah, cool.
But if the gold and jewels.
Gold and jewels, yeah.
I'm a pirate, I bury treasure.
Okay. Tim?
All right, I would leave my t-shirt from the year 2000, Hancock School. So I've had that since I graduated, so you know, it's only... Never mind, we're not doing the math on that. And then my Maylene and the Sons of Disaster album, if record players even still exist, and then the Polaroid I have on my fridge with the two naked ladies on it. I think that'd be a fun addition.
Okay. Right on. Rebecca?
I just print a bunch of memes offline and put them in there so someone can get a good chuckle.
All right. That's something.
It's nothing.
I feel like it'd be like, look at these prophecies. I don't even know what meme culture is. It's died 40 years earlier.
Nice. I could start a new religion with that.
Oh, that'd be a good story.
Welcome to the church of I can have cheeseburger.
Yeah, I guess that's a good one, because in 50 years, like, all of the mediums that we have are probably going to be mostly obsolete. I mean, there might be record players, though. We have them today, and they're not necessary. But, like, you know, probably Star Wars episodes 1 through 6 on Blu-ray.
On Laserdisc.
On Laserdisc.
Blu-ray? We don't even have that anymore now.
Yeah, but you can play them on a DVD player. Okay. I guess on a thumb drive. And
is it the original 1 through 3 or the...
It's 1 through 6, so it's going to be all of them until the...
I guess, sorry, 4 through 6. Is it the original 4 through 6 or the current edited versions?
In between. So not the first ones where Jabba the Hutt is a person.
But, okay.
Like, not the one with that singing lady in Jabba the Hutt's palace by number 6. Mm. In between, here and there, right down the 90s version.
Okay, they were brushed up in like 97.
They've been brushed up like fucking 14.
That's what I mean, like mid 90s.
Right there, right before they put the CGI'd singing alien into episode 6.
Mm.
Yep. Yeah, then probably a bunch of fake news. It's like really confused people.
Bunch of Inquirer magazines.
Yeah, like really hype up Godzilla, make him seem real. And then, you know, probably the Tales from the Crypt audio logs for the first 10 seasons to make it so everybody knows how we got super famous.
Now I feel so selfish.
Well, anyways, so that's a bunch of crap that's in a time capsule. So we're going to play the Fallout RPG, and I've got some things to say about this. A, I thought I bought the Fallout RPG off Amazon. It gets here and I'm like, oh cool, wait, this isn't the core book. And so, like, I had bought supplement book number 2, which I was like, oh okay, still don't know how to play the game. So I went back to Amazon and I was like, okay, I'll buy it this time. So I buy it and it comes, and it turns out I once again did not buy the core rule book. I bought supplement book number 2. And so I searched and searched and searched and searched on Amazon, and you couldn't buy the core rule book off Amazon. So I bought the starter set, which gives a good overview of the rules. Why I'm not upset about that is the core rulebook is like 300 pages, jam-packed of rules, and this might be the most intense fucking RPG.
Very rule-heavy.
Just, it makes sense when you think of the game. You're like, oh, there's a lot to keep track of. But, like, trying to do that for our purposes seems really wild. So I'm going to preface this whole thing. I've modified some of the rules. We're going to blatantly ignore some. So if you're a diehard Fallout RPG fan, don't expect an exact recreation of that.
You're going to love this because it's wildly different.
It is not going to be the same. We're going to stick to a bunch of rules. There are going to be ones that we ignore just for time's sake, too. And another thing, we're going to use, for the first time ever, the characters that came with the starter set, which I'm pretty excited about. So you guys have already picked your characters. You can change names for them if you want. You can change backstories. They can be whatever. We're just going to leave the core mechanics, your inventory, stuff like that, as it is on the sheets. We'll do a little bit of character creation, mostly just talking and figuring out who's who and what you guys know. And then I've got some different things also to start this game than we've used before. So, Rebecca, go ahead and tell us about your character. Who are you playing?
Well, the name officially is Bailey Big Smile, but I'm going to go with Gulia Roberts because that's way better.
That's amazing.
I am the ghoul, obviously. What else do you want to know? I didn't read the backstory on the card.
That's all right. We can figure that out together.
Okay.
Tim, go ahead and tell us who you're playing.
All right. I think I'm going to stick relatively close to I'm just going to go with what the game has given me and trust it. So my name is Augusta Byron. Augusta Byron. Sorry, my brain keeps switching the R and Y to say Brian. But it's Augusta Byron. My origin is that of a vault dweller, which I am personally excited about because I don't have any experience with this game. I just watched the show that came out. Very excited about it. That was rad. I'm a huge sci-fi fan in general. This scratched a lot of itching, and just very, very excited about that. So very excited for being a vault dweller.
All right. Mikey, who are you going to play this time?
I'm going to be a Mr. Handy Robot.
Awesome. What's your name?
His name is Marvin, and I think I'll keep it. I like Marvin.
Okay.
I was thinking Codsworth, that was the one from Fallout 4.
Mm.
Ah, hello, sir.
I mean, you do the voice. You're going to commit to it. So, Derek, who are you and what are you?
I am playing Old Tall Man, and he is the super mutant in the group.
Yes.
Yes, I was hoping you took the super mutant.
I had you pegged for the Brotherhood of Steel initiate.
Actually, I think the first time I played a Fallout game, I stuck to the Brotherhood of Steel initiative track pretty strictly. But most of the time, they're pretty much assholes. So they make it hard sometimes to side with them.
Understandable. Now that we got that out of the way, do you guys want to talk about your relationship? So I'm going to preface this. I forgot to mention this part. The four of you already know each other pretty intimately, as you're going to be playing a group of raiders. How intimately is really up to you guys, but you guys are going to be playing this group of raiders who have your own little settlement camp. It's nothing too spectacular, but you have spent some significant amount of time together in the past. So you're not strangers, and you all know each other pretty well.
I'm a robot.
Fuck yes, man. That is awesome. You are.
My background says that he is a very old super mutant and that he views his new group of wanderer survivor friends as little more than children. Seems like he takes a little bit of a protective and superior tone to him, even though he's probably the dumbest one in the group being a super mutant.
Yeah, I think your intelligence maxes out at a 6.
Yeah.
Which is
actually pretty good for a super mutant, but...
Oh, is your intelligence a 6?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I mean, that's not bad.
No, that's actually not bad, especially for a super mutant. They're usually, like, really low on the scale.
Yeah.
Like, hers is a 5. Yours is a 6.
What are you looking for?
Your intelligence is a 9. You're the smartest one there, Augusta. Brian.
You're smarter than the robot.
That's wild. If you guys want to do a little bit more character creation, we could dive into our good old-fashioned handy-dandy kids-on-bikes character creation and roll some dice to answer some questions about each other.
I'm all for making some backstory.
Sure.
Mm.
Makes it easier.
That has played out very well in some past games.
Mm-hmm.
I was born with the name Student Number 1179F.
What was the experiment in your vault? What vault did you come from?
I came from Vault Number 75. Every year, graduated students were systematically murdered, and the most advanced of the year's crop of students were harvested to be used in advanced genetic experiments.
I was going to say, that's an actual vault thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm glad that's on your card.
That sounds terrible.
This Mr. Handy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Was nearly destroyed by an errant bomb, had to patch itself back together using spare parts from other disabled Mr. Handys that it scavenged in the wastelands. It was around this time that it first went temporarily insane and decided that its name was Marvin and blamed humans for the destruction of its robotic siblings. Since achieving self-awareness, Marvin has lost its mind many times, almost always during a tense situation or when it witnesses the destruction of other robots. When Marvin snaps, it becomes a merciless, sadistic killer, and it can take a lot of effort from its allies to calm him down. Most other times, Marvin presents itself as a caring, attentive, empathetic friend to humans and robots alike. In actuality, he is extremely manipulative and sees most humans as pawn and takes actions to subtly sabotage anyone who it feels is being abusive to robots. His one true loyalty is to Marvin and only Marvin.
That's fantastic.
That's really good. Some pretty good flavor on this character.
With that being said, do we all want to read our bios?
I was thinking the same thing.
Sounds pretty cool.
This is good stuff.
All right. Old tall man, give us your background.
Old Tall Man is possibly one of the oldest super mutants in the world, and is so ancient that he no longer recalls his life before experimentation turned him into a mutant. As a survivor of generations of post-nuclear brutality and war, he has been many things: a merciless raider, a dutiful citizen, and was even worshipped for many years by a tribe of nomadic ghouls as a god. Despite all the actions he has committed over the centuries, some kind and many atrocities, Old Tall Man has never felt truly fulfilled. For the past 60 years, he has lived as a hermit, shunned other super mutants and survivors alike. In that time, he has collected books from the Boston Public Library and other sources. Studying religion, history, and ancient philosophy, he hopes to reveal the universal truth that has eluded him. His long solitude has caused him to become a little flabby and out of shape. Recently, old Tall Man has been driven to wanderlust and a desire to mingle again with other survivors whom he views as little more than children. He has packed up a few of his most treasured books and has set out across the Commonwealth believing fully that his destiny lies in the unknown. He is cautious about how the world has changed since the time he explored it and how the new world will change him in return, or in turn. He is entirely ready to accept whatever personal evolutions occur, whether that means he plays the role of a hero, a monster, or something in between.
Okay, that was extensive. Augusta, why don't you... We already heard the first line, but go ahead and regale us the rest of your tale.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out what kind of voice I wanna do for this character. And we're going to do the best to just kind of rewrite this, just in the idea of swapping out she for I and making this a first-person narrative of what I've been through. My name is Augusta Bryan, and some would say that I am an unremarkable-looking vault dweller, but I have a brilliant mind for computer science and artificial intelligence. The brightest child of my generation, I was born with the name student number 1179F, and raised in Vault 75. There, every child was forced to undergo intense schooling and a brutal mental and physical test by the Vault scientists. Mere days before my graduation, I learned Vault 75's dark secret. Every year, graduated students were systematically murdered, and the most advanced of the year's crop of students were harvested to be used in advanced genetic experiments. Horrified by discovering this, the fate that awaited me, and a guilt-ridden, I organized a bloody coup. Together, I led the remaining students to murder the other scientists and lead the Vault 75 students to freedom. After leaving the Vault, I took the name Augusta Byron for myself in honor of the 19th century mathematician Augusta Ada King, daughter of Lord Byron, who is considered history's first female computer programmer. Life on the outside has proved hard for me. I watched many of my fellow Vault survivors die of radiation poisoning and the cruel realities of the Commonwealth. For the past several years, I've fended for myself using my ability to critically assess threats and my unbreakable will to survive. I travel between settlements and break into pre-war ruins looking for anything that aids my research and efforts to evolve artificial intelligence to new heights.
Awesome.
I really got lost in the sauce there.
You nailed it. All right, Rebecca, tell us about Gulia Roberts.
Gulia is an intelligent ghoul who spent her childhood traveling between settlements with her family, often turned away as locals feared that the family might go feral. During my teenage years, a run-in with the raider's machete left a permanent gash on my face and mouth. Seeing how depressed I was after, due to my appearance, my parents began to call me Big Smile and said my smile could light up any room. Eventually, the family settled in Good Neighbor and worked hard to prove that they were trustworthy, valuable members of the settlement. When I first began to exhibit signs of mental degeneration that might eventually lead me to going feral, my family did everything they could to hide me from the others and keep me out of sight as much as possible. Shockingly, a fire burned down the shop that my family owned, resulting in the death of my brother and my mother. Shortly after, my father murdered the man that he believed responsible for the fire and was subsequently banished from the town. Alone for the first time in my life, with a paralyzing fear that I might lose my mind at any time, I left that neighborhood on foot. In the wastes, I hope to one day reunite with my father and make new friends who will not be afraid of me because I'm a ghoul, and do something meaningful with my life before I do eventually turn feral.
A little sad. From reading those, here's what I'm going to do to bridge some gaps. Old Tall Man, you are the newest member of the group, having just wandered here recently. Mr. Handy, or Marvin, sorry. Don't kill me. Your character is going to be skeptical at times of Augusta Byron, naturally, or Brian, because he is the only human in your group.
Makes sense.
Okay. So with that, we're going to roll twice on our relationship questions. And I'm going to need everybody to roll one positive and one negative.
Are these D20s?
This will be a D20. Who wants to be player one?
I'll be player one.
Augusta Byron, give me a D20 roll and tell me, are you going to answer a positive question or a negative question about somebody that you know, which is everybody?
I'm going to answer a positive question.
Okay. About who?
Marvin.
Okay. Give me a roll of a D20.
A 4.
What trait about this character that they despise do you genuinely appreciate?
I would have to say that my biggest thing that I enjoy about my friend Marvin here is that he has an inept distrust for the human race, which I think is quite intelligent and really shows in volumes the real humanity that Marvin almost seems to have himself.
Awesome.
Pretty good.
So, Marvin, that would bring you up next. Roll a D20. Are you going to answer a question about somebody, or a positive question or a negative question?
Negative.
Okay. What'd you roll?
3.
Who are you answering about?
Gulia Roberts.
What could make you betray this character?
Oh, if she ever got like really into destroying robots.
I thought you'd say if I go feral, but I guess that wouldn't matter to you, would it?
No,
it wouldn't. All right. So she becomes a robot murderer. Awesome. Derek. Positive or negative?
I'll go negative.
Who are you going to answer about?
Tim, what's your character's name? I keep forgetting.
Augusta Byron.
Augusta. I'm going to answer about Augusta.
The question is, what do you need to take from this character for their own good?
I need to take from this character the adapter for them to plug into the back of a Mr. Handy.
Okay. So you have a Mr. Handy adapter.
Like a power adapter?
No, for like messing with Marvin here while he's powered down recharging.
Oh.
Because you like to tinker with.
So sort of like diagnosis.
Go in and it's pretty cool, peck around with his brain.
Your character's into AI and my character is a self-aware robot.
I feel like that's how we would know each other, is that like you're the IT guy that I know, or like the robot guy that I know. And now that I know that you have a robot companion, I'm not so sure that you're not experimenting on
Okay.
Awesome.
For everybody who doesn't know, the Mr. Handy robot, he's got 3 arms, like 3 appendages, and he's on like a central like thruster, and he kind of floats and bops around. And it's just like he's got a pincer arm attachment, a flamer arm attachment, a buzzsaw arm attachment, standard plating, one robot, less than one robot repair kit.
No, that's it's weight.
Oh, okay. One robot repair kit, and, the integral boiler mod, which can turn 2 dirty waters into 1 purified water in 10 minutes. A baseball bat, and my favorite piece of equipment in his inventory is a formal hat.
Oh, okay.
Nice.
In Fallout, in the video game, you can put like a bowler hat on top of the Mr. Handy robots. It's the only clothing item that they can wear.
That's awesome. Something important to note about your character. If you do like go and change your arms or have them like switched out so that you don't have a pincer anymore, you can't use anything.
You can't pick stuff up.
Like you can't manipulate anything.
Yeah, the pincer arm is like the only grabby.
It's the only grabby thing. Yeah. I just wanted to, throw that out there. If you do get all, gung ho and want to change that out.
Well, I've got a flamer arm and a buzzsaw arm. So.
Yeah, I mean you shouldn't need one, but I'd also like a gun arm. So
laser attachments
Okay. So all right. Gulia Roberts, are you answering a positive question or a negative question?
Positive.
About who?
About what was the super mutant?
Tall man. Old tall man.
Old tall man.
Okay, give me a d20.
I got a 6.
What role did this character play in the best day of your life?
Newest guy to the group.
It could be from your long past, and I just don't remember.
Yeah, the two of you would
be very, very old. We are very old.
Yeah, I think probably the best day of my life was when he came into our group, and I was like, holy shit, the feral ghoul's god. Someday mine as well.
You will be worshipped again.
You know what? I got a positive spin. He likes me.
Yeah.
It'll probably go well later.
There you go. He may not smash your brains in, so that's dope. So back to Tim. I need you to answer a question on the opposite side of the spectrum than the last one you answered. So I think you answered a positive question last time. Mm-hmm. All right.
All right. I think I'm going to go
negative for Ghoulia Roberts.
Okay.
It's two negatives.
It's two negatives for Ghoulia Roberts.
Roll me a d20, please, my friend.
It's a number. I can't even see it.
It's a six.
Oh, it's a six.
What is this character doing, either knowingly or unknowingly, that hurts you?
Every once in a while, it's not all the time, but it's been a couple times now. Ghoulia Roberts has mentioned graduating high school, which is just kind of a trigger for Augusta, being that she graduated and there was no problem. But if he had done what he was, you know, brought up to do, like the most significant thing, which was graduate high school, he would have died. But she was able to get to that goal and then survive. And he's kind of, it just kind of walks on the edge of his nerves when he hears that mentioned. It really kind of irritates him that there was a different way to live and grow up, and he wasn't allowed to have that.
Awesome. Some emotional trauma. Marvin.
I'm a robot.
You are. Did you answer a positive question or a negative one last time?
Negative.
All right. You're going to go positive. Who are you going to answer a question about?
Old tall man.
Okay. Lots of praise for old tall man. What did you roll?
A six. Is that what we just did?
Yeah.
Okay.
Reroll. Boo.
12.
Why do you have a bond with this character that can never be broken?
I don't know.
It is a hard one.
You want to reroll?
Yeah.
All right, reroll.
That's a tough.
You're the only one I can't see a connection.
I know. It was just, there's no organic reason for that.
What if at one point you had a diagnosis cable and you had programmed in it so that he would like you
forever?
But at this point, you lost it. And you hate the fact that he likes you so much at this point. That's why you want my diagnosis cable, is so you can turn off this friend factor.
What lengths would you go to defend this character?
Well, he's not a human.
Mm-hmm.
So, probably pretty neutral lengths.
Awesome. I love it.
I would not go too far out of my way to save him. He looks like he can take care of himself, so.
Yeah, he's tall but flabby.
Yeah.
All right, cool. Old tall man. Did you answer a positive or a negative last time?
I'm pretty sure I did a negative last time.
Okay.
That's a nine.
And who are you answering a question about?
The robot.
Marvin, what is the kindest thing this character has ever done for you?
He never forgets to water my potted plant.
All right.
Oh.
Nice.
I do love gardening.
Fuck yeah. All right. That leaves you, Ghoulia.
All right. I guess I'll do a positive one. No, a negative one.
Okay. About who?
Let's do Augusta.
Okay. What'd you roll?
An 11.
What does this character do that immediately makes you lose your temper?
This is so stupid. Every time I mention my graduation, he storms off and it really annoys me.
Wait, he just leaves in the middle of your story.
Bullshit, man.
Oh, yeah. So you're constantly restarting that story that pisses him off. Oh, God.
Telling old heartfelt stories, and in the middle, he's just like, fuck this, I'm out of here.
Awesome. Okay, cool. So we did that. We went around twice, right?
Yep.
Okay,
yep.
Cool. So a couple things that are different about this game than other games. I've actually given you guys a map, which I know I gave a map last time, but there's another map. And on that map, if Rebecca wants to hold it up quick, so we'll see, there's actually a bunch of sections that you guys can go to, and you know stuff about each and every one of them. So there are 10 sections outside of the Raiders camp. We're not going to focus so much on travel, so you guys are just going to be like, I'm going to move from this section to this section. There's enough happening in the sections where just filling up the travel is going to be extensive.
All session,
so,
yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be too much. So there's different things that you guys know about each one of these sections, and I'm going to give these to you so you guys can pass this around. But as you're looking at this, there's something that each one of your characters knows that you're going to be able to add to this map that's going to fill in more information on different sections. And then each one of you also know two rumors about the world around you. All right, starting with player one, Augusta Byron, why don't you tell the group something that you know?
I know that Vault 69 is located in Area 8.
Awesome. Marvin, what do you know?
I know that today's actual date is June 20th.
Fantastic. Old Tall Man, what do you know?
I know the Minutemen are hunting you and several others.
Hunting you?
Hunting us, I'm guessing. Hunting me?
Or yes.
Just me?
You and several others, most likely of your group that you were with. Okay. You are raiders.
So you guys.
And Ghoulie Roberts, what do you know?
I know Maslow, the ghoul who runs Maslow's motel, and not to go into door number two.
So now I also have a pile of rumors. I'm going to throw them kind of in the most convenient spot for myself. Starting with Tim, everybody's going to grab two, and you guys can actively write on that map that you have to fill in information to if you want to do stuff, but everybody grab two rumors, and then we'll go around in some circles and talk about what you guys have heard. Augusta, what is something that you have heard about the world around you?
I have heard that there is a stash of red caps at the Red Rocket Station.
Did I write red caps?
Nope, I just
okay.
Put that word in front of it. There's a stash of caps at the Red Rocket Station.
Marvin, what's something that you have heard?
I've heard that New Springfield has been inhabited by a rival group of raiders.
Okay. Old Tall Man.
I have heard the Minutemen are looking to push into other areas and have scouting groups out.
Ghoulie Roberts?
I heard that the abandoned Tesla factory has an extremely powerful gun hidden inside.
Back to Augusta, what's another thing that you have heard?
I have heard that there is a special brothel at Rad Rail Station.
Marvin, what's the second thing that you've heard?
I've also heard the displaced settlement in Section 6 has been overrun by rad roaches and giant ants.
Okay. Old Tall Man?
There is a sewer running between the railroad... the Rad Rail Station, and the Commonwealth Warehouse.
Ghoulie?
I heard that the old farmhouse is not what it seems. That's so vague.
Dun, dun.
All right, so that's what we heard. So go ahead and add some of that stuff to the map to give you guys a better picture of what's going on. It may help you decide where you want to go. Has everybody had a chance to look at it?
It's funny that you got both the rumors about the
map. Yeah, that's why I'm confused. Yeah. I'm like, why do I...
It was like meant for you. One?
What is the Red Rocket Station?
Don't worry about it. Right below your...
To Maslow's.
Yep. So Maslow's and the Red Rocket Station share a section of the map.
Share a parking lot, motel, gas station,
yeah,
combo.
Pretty much. Actually, no. They are separated by some distance, but... So you have defense...
Oh, it's already written on here.
Yeah, you have defense... You have defense reduction scores on the front.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you guys take specific damage to specific body parts, you can reduce that damage by the number indicated. So you may have something that protects against physical, energy, radiation, stuff like that. So as you get different armor, if you get different armor, you can reduce that damage that comes in.
What's the DR mean?
Damage reduction. If say I roll really well and I'm like, okay, I shoot you in the arm three times, you're going to take three damage. If you have a damage reducer of two for physical, you're actually going to drop that damage down to one.
Okay.
Or, you know, a negligible amount if you have less than.
Okay.
Okay. So we'll get into combat when we do that. And we'll take that kind of slow because that's going to be a little bit
tricky
at first.
Physical damage. There's radiation damage.
Yep.
There's energy damage.
Energy damage. What would energy damage be?
Like a laser? Energy guns. Laser guns, gamma guns.
That kind of, like, not like a pistol with a lead bullet.
That's physical. Yep.
Okay.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. Energy, think more sci-fi.
Okay.
Physical is going to be guns. That's another thing that we're going to change here, just because I don't think we'd have the time to really get into how many different ammo types there are. When you guys scavenger find bullets, it's either going to be energy or physical. That's it. I'm not getting into 9mm, 10mm, 44 cal. There's literally every caliber of gun in this. We're not going to get into that because that'd be...
5.56.
What about 0.5 round ball?
Yeah, no, we're not going to do that. So it's either physical or energy. So if you have one of those weapons that either takes like physical bullets, like any caliber, or energy weapons, like we're just going to interchange those just because...
We all use junk jets.
You could do that.
Bullets and...
Even though I don't think anybody has any, so...
I just have a couple more real quick. So radiation damage, I'm assuming that would only happen in the environment?
No, there are radiation guns
there
shoot radiation out. Just ionizing radiation.
Oh, that's fucked up. It's
called the gamma gun.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think you're also the only one that's not immune to radiation in the group.
Oh, no.
We can walk through yeah. blast zone.
What is, and then HP, so health points, how does that factor into, does each limb have
each
its own
limb
health?
Has a health because you can cripple a limb and then you can no longer use it.
No, so every limb doesn't have its individual health. The way that it works is if you get a crit on a body part or somebody rolls something that has an effect along with that, so you can have bullets that are piercing that might cripple a body part. You have an overall HP score that's kind of right up in the corner right near your head. So any damage you take is going to come off of that, but you can get damage to individual limbs that'll really severely limit what you can do
okay.
with that.
Okay.
That may have to be healed up. With that, Marvin, you cannot be healed by traditional means. Obviously, stim packs, those things have no effect on you. So you actually have to go somewhere to get repaired if you are injured. For Ghoulia Roberts and Old Tall Man, you guys recover health with radiation. So every 3 points of radiation that you take, you actually regain HP.
Mm-hmm.
For you guys, sleeping in irradiated areas will recover your HP. Where someone like Augusta, not sleeping in a radiated place, will recoup your HP. Okay. Some other things to note, this is only going to apply to Augusta. When you take rad damage, what you're actually going to do is reduce your max HP rather than take damage. So if you're at like a 13 and you're down to 10, your max HP is going to drop down to an 11 12, 11, 10, blah, blah, blah. And it's going to push that shorter and shorter. So you actively have to try to decrease how much radiation you have to bring your max stat back up. So as time goes on, we'll get more into that. But if you fall into like, yeah. if you have to drink dirty water and you take some radiation damage, using a stim pack like a rad away will help remove certain number of radiation points so that your max HP can go back up.
Okay.
Okay. So we'll handle that as it comes, just like everything else. Any questions before we get started?
Mr. Handy has in his...
I have one robot repair kit, yes.
He has repair kits.
Yeah. So you can repair yourself once.
Yeah.
Other than that, you have to find a place. At your guys' camp, you can go back there as time goes on. The way we're going to do it is it's going to be based on the amount of time, because this is a finite... Like, you guys have a certain number of days that you'll have to figure out before the end of the adventure happens. You have to spend time in each location, traveling to and doing things in each location that's going to take away. So if you go back to your camp, it's not just like I'm going to pass through and patch myself up and move on to another one. You actually have to spend time there and say, okay, we're going to recoup our HP and fix ourselves and stuff like that. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Are we ready? Yeah?
Yes.
Yeah. All right. And on the next episode, we're going to jump right in and get playing. Until then, we will
see
you next Tuesday.
Tales from the Crypt is part of the Wolfbeard Games Podcast Network. We hope you've enjoyed today's episode, and if you have, please subscribe and leave a review wherever you get your podcasts. To stay up to date on any news about the podcast, follow us on Instagram at Tales from the Crypt Podcast. Check out our YouTube channel with the same name, and most importantly, tell a friend.
Yes, here's today's words of wisdom. Don't forget to check the air pressure in your tires, as the temperatures have changed, and you might end up with two what you thought were flat tires. The one does have a nail, but it's holding there.
I've been a good guy, a bad guy, a wanderer. It's been a long time.
A joker, a toker, a midnight smoker.